are the leper. We are the leper. So Matthew 8, 1 through 4. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. His leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me, that these won't be my words, but that they'll be your words. I pray, Lord, that you will soften the hearts of those people that are listening. Lord, this message you have designed for somebody, and I pray, Lord, that they will hear it and receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us in our sickness. You don't leave us in our broken state, but you reach out your hand and you touch us and you heal us. Thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Rick asked me several weeks ago if I would teach today. And I always love the opportunity to teach. And the subject was still up in the air. It was dependent on how things went with Matthew. The ministry that I work for, Iron Sheet Ministries, we're going through Leviticus. And we just finished Leviticus 15. Leviticus 11 through 15 are what I call the clean and unclean segments, where it's specifically outlined those things that make you clean and unclean, and I'll explain those in a second. But then when Rick said, oh, you're teaching on Matthew 8, it's all about a leper. I mean, like, the timing of this is perfect. I just spent 3 weeks studying Leviticus on leprosy, and when Jesus says in verse 4, go, show yourself to the priest, as you're supposed to do, he's referencing Leviticus 14. I just love the timing of this. I mean, it's like, when Rick told me, I was like, yeah, I'm prepped. Let's go. This is awesome. So, looking at our outline, for historical cultural context, I'm going to talk about leprosy and what that is, both in Jesus' day as well as today. Then we'll look verse by verse at Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 4. We'll hit each of those verses. Application, there's a lot of verses on there, and I'll hit each of them that support the application, and then conclusions. Does that sound good? A group of us, three of us, are heading off to Malawi in a week and a half or so. And in Africa, when you ask a question of the congregation, they are engaged with you. And zikumvega is a term that means, do you understand? And so I've gotten accustomed when I'm there to say zikumvega, and coming from the white Nzungu who's up on stage to suddenly say something their language, they like. Yes, yes, thank you, Tim. Yes. Okay, so what is leprosy? The word is tsara'ath, is the Hebrew word, and it's up there, and it's used many different ways. When you look at Leviticus, it's actually more appropriately defiling skin disease, because when you look at chapters 11 through 15, included in that is mold in your house, as well as mold in leather and clothing. It's the same word, right? So it's a very loose term. But it also does mean defiling skin disease and leprosy. So as we look at it today, we are just considering leprosy as the actual disease, the actual sickness. So today, such a negative connotation. It's called Hansen's disease. And 200,000 new cases happen every year of Hansen's disease in over 120 countries across the globe. Transmission is through prolonged close contact, specifically by droplets from the nose and mouth of an untreated person. As soon as a person starts treatment, they're no longer contagious. Scary visions of COVID come back into my mind of masks and not getting close. It's not as contagious as some people think. But there's two types of Hansen's disease. There's the leprosy spots on the face, ears, forearms, and thighs, which turns into thick nodules then ulcers, and eventually causes deformity. A person that had full-blown, untreated Hansen's disease or leprosy, you wouldn't recognize them. Like, it's to that extent. If he goes untreated, it's so disfiguring that you don't recognize the person. That's the lepromatosis type. This type is often portrayed by Hollywood. People are often wearing like big cloaks to cover themselves, or even covered almost like a mummy to cover themselves with gauze, etc. You guys have seen that in movies, etc., no doubt. The other type is tuberculoid type, which causes numbness and deadened nerves. Pain is actually a good thing. It tells your body something's wrong. Don't touch that thing. It's radiating heat. It'll burn you. And so when you get pain, it is an indicator to your body, don't do that. Jump away, etc. Well, the tuberculoid type, you lose feeling. You lose sensitivity, and it starts with your limbs, in your hands, in your feet. And I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but I've heard stories or illustrations of people who are in leper colonies that they'll cut their hand or whatever, and it becomes infected, and then rats will, while they're sleeping, gnaw on them, and they have no idea because they can't feel anything. And so their body slowly just falls apart because they have no sensation or no feeling. So that is leprosy, Hansen's disease, as it existed. So now Leviticus 13 and 14. Zekum Vega, you guys good on that? Yeah. Great. Clean and unclean. Leviticus, as a book, it's basically a book of worship, believe it or not. It's all about how the Levitical priests are supposed to leave after the Ten Commandments in front of Mount Sinai before they go wandering in the desert, before they head to the Promised Land only to not make it, right? So this is instructions for the new tabernacle system and for the priests. Chapters 1 through 7 are all about the offerings, the sacrifices, right? You have the tabernacle system. You have the tent of meeting, which is the actual tent. You have the holy place, and inside that you have the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And at the top of the Ark of the Covenant, between the two angels, is what was called the mercy seat. That was the dwelling place of God among his people in that dispensation, in that time. And then outside of, you also had the basin for washing, and then you had the big tent around it, and that is the tabernacle system. In order to even enter the tabernacle, to be able to offer one of the sacrifices, which the sacrifices are outlined in chapters 1 through 7, and it starts off, I'll list them just real quick, if I can find them, burnt offering, grain offering, fellowship offering, sin offering, and the guilt offering. And each of these have specific situations and circumstances upon which you would do these and ways that they're done. And that's chapters 1 through 7 of Leviticus. Chapter 8 through 10 is basically the ordination process of the priests. And chapter 11 through 15 I call clean and unclean. These are instructions for the Levitical priests of what is labeled clean and what is labeled unclean. We look at it as, well, unclean is bad and clean is good. No, a better way to look at it is able to go and worship or not. Be holy. Be holy. That term together, it's two Hebrew words, be holy, occurs 41 times across 39 verses in the King James Bible. 19 of those are in Leviticus. Leviticus calls us to be holy. That is to be set apart. Right, to be set apart for the Lord. So when you would enter the tabernacle, you had to be cleared to do so. You had to be considered ceremonially clean. You couldn't bring your filth into the presence of the Lord, right? So there's this list of things. Chapter 11 is where we get the kosher laws of all the food. All of chapter 11 is what you can eat and can and cannot eat. Because this is an unclean food. It will make you unclean. This is a clean food, etc. Chapter 13 and 14 is all about the skin-defiling diseases. Chapter 13 lists off for the priest, if a person has a defiling skin disease, if they have leprosy, it is the step-by-step procedure of what you would do to spot it and then call it out and isolate them as unclean. And it was a long process that took 2 weeks. You would go to the high priest, they would look and see if it's skin deep, they would see if it's spreading or not, they would isolate you for 7 days, they'd look again, has it spread, has it not, is it more than skin deep, and then you'd wait another 7 days, and if at that point it's still spreading, sorry, you're out. And that's where we get chapter 13, 45 and 46. So turn with me to Leviticus, chapter 13. So this is at the end of chapter 13, where the priest has done everything necessary to determine that this is an infectious disease, they have leprosy, they need to be isolated. Starting on verse 45. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. He shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. To keep in mind, why was it so bad to be unclean? If you were touched by a person who's unclean, you were then unclean. And you had to go through the ceremony process to become cleansed. Why is that a big deal? You can't go worship God. You cannot go and take the offerings that you are required to do by the Levitical law because somebody who is unclean touched you. You have to go through the process, wait until evening. Like, there's a whole list of things that you would have to do. So all of a sudden, there is humongous reinforcement on the clean person not to get anywhere near someone who is unclean, because then you can't go and worship God. Thanks be to God that we don't have this today, that in our filth and muck and mire, we can still approach him being unclean. That's application. Sorry. So they would have to be isolated outside the camp, cannot touch anybody. They would have to cover themselves. And whenever they would walk anywhere and see anybody, they'd have to yell out, unclean, unclean. Imagine how that would be. Imagine that. Chapter 14 is all about if the defiling skin disease that they have somehow gets better. How can they be brought back into society, and how can they be cleansed to be able to worship again? And this, again, in this situation, it's the defiling skin disease. Leprosy at this time had no cure. It was a death sentence. They didn't have people who would come in who were declared unclean because of leprosy, other than today. We'll talk about that. Okay, so that wraps up the background context, Leviticus 13, 14. So the important takeaway here as we're looking at it is Leviticus 14, 1 through 20 is specifically what Jesus references in verse 4 of our text today. Zikum Vega? I'm done talking about details. Okay, so verses 1 through 4 of Matthew 8. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through 7. This amazing sermon message, the greatest message that's ever been taught, concludes. And we end chapter 7 with, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So naturally, people are following him. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. They wanted to see what he was going to do next. Verse 2, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I want you to put yourself along he's had leprosy. We do know that he went through the process of chapter 13, where however it started to show, he went, showed himself to the priest, waited the 7 days, saw the priest again, waited 7 more days. Sorry, it's defiling skin disease, you have leprosy, you're out, unclean. How long? How long? I don't know. 6 months? 3 years? I don't know how bad the leprosy was either, because this is also something that is it slowly grows worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So we don't know. But imagine that you are unclean. You've been labeled that. You've lived with this for a year. You have no feelings in your hand or your feet. You're grotesque to look at. And in the area where you roam, this prophet, this Messiah, this person comes and starts speaking, and a multitude come out. It very well could be that you heard him speak from a distance. Imagine the perspective of the leper in realizing this could be the Messiah. This could be the Messiah. Try to put yourself in that position. You are dying. You are falling apart. You haven't had a single person touch you physically in a year. Imagine the risk that he took. Imagine the boldness that it took for him to do this. He had nothing else. He cannot clean himself. He cannot fix this situation for himself. But then there's Jesus. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him. The NIV says, kneeled before him. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. There's two things I want to touch on here. First of all, touch. Jesus reached out and touched the guy. You're that leper. You haven't had contact with anybody for over a year, and this guy who's speaking to multitudes, the first thing he does is reach out his hand and touch you. Can you imagine what that would have felt like? I would have broken down in tears. I would have been just like not beautiful tears. I would have been spitting like just like weeping, gushing tears, ugly crying. He touched the leper. And then Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. Imagine the feeling of suddenly you look down at your hand and instead of being grotesque and deformed, it's back to normal. And you can feel, like imagine the joy. Imagine just the elation that this guy must have had. Like I would have jumped up and immediately been like doing cartwheels with excitement. The context of this text, it's critical for you to try to picture yourself as this leper. Verse 4 is an interesting one. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. That's interesting because today we're taught, tell everyone, right? Share the love of Jesus. Well, context. There's four or five other times where Jesus heals somebody and he specifically tells them, don't tell anybody. Are you kidding me? I can see. I was blind, but now I can see. How do you want me to keep that in? Same thing with the leprosy. I'm healed. How can I not scream that from everywhere, from the rooftops? From context of looking at the other verses, these are all early in Jesus' ministry. And when you look at Jesus' interaction, there are instances where he speaks to multitudes, right? There's miraculous, huge crowds, and he speaks to all of them, right? But if you look at it, more often than not, it's one-on-one interactions. It's personal interactions that Jesus makes in people's homes, one-on-one, going into their lives. Now, if word spreads rapidly fast, the mob is fickle, and they love to see anything that's a show, right? And I believe that that is the reason why Jesus said that, is that he had work to do, and he didn't want to be distracted by people who are just looking, what are they called, rubberneckers, looking at a traffic jam like, oh, what's that? Causes an hour traffic jam as opposed to just go ahead. I believe that's the reason. He says, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. That's Leviticus chapter 14. It is specific ordinances of what you need to do. And the specifics of it, it goes, I missed one of my verses. Sorry. Matthew 11, 2 through 5. This is talking about John the Baptist. You don't have to turn there, sorry. You don't have to turn there. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed. Notice, I skipped over it really fast. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. So Jesus did want people to notice, and I believe as we go to the second segment of the reason why he says, go and tell the priest, why did he say, go and tell the priest and offer the sacrifices outlined to Moses? Because I believe in two things here. One, it was outlined in the law, Leviticus, when a person is healed from leprosy, this is what you need to do. So it was right and good and proper for him to do that. But I also think, okay, we're in the temple, and this guy comes in and like, what's Bob doing here? Bob's got leprosy. What is happening? Because you were the one who said you have leprosy, you are unclean, you must leave. It's a death sentence. And this person who had leprosy now comes to the high priest. I believe Jesus was hoping that if anybody is going to recognize the signs and the times, it would be those who study the law, right? It should be. They know the Tanakh, they know the Torah, they know Leviticus. They have a rule book of Leviticus 14 that they need to act out. Imagine how excited they would have been. And I believe that Jesus wanted him to go and do this, and it says specifically, as a testimony to them. Proof, witness, miracles are happening. And in speaking to John the Baptist, and when we get to Matthew 11, Pastor Rick or myself will explain why John the Baptist is questioning if Jesus is the Messiah or not. But go back and report to John what you have heard and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. He is the Messiah. Amen. Yes, exactly. So now we go on to application. Application. We are looking at the leper who approaches Jesus. That did happen, right? So this is the twofold fulfillment of Scripture. That did happen. That was an actual event that happened. But we can look at today for ourselves as an application, as a picture for us. We have leprosy. Sin is a picture of leprosy. And if you want, on I did a whole talk. It's like 45 minutes long talking about all the ways that Leviticus 13 and 14 picture sin is as pictured in leprosy. And you can go and watch that if you like. But I'm not going to take the time to do that. But leprosy is a picture of sin. And as I explained specifically with leprosy, the two different types, right? So one type of leprosy is that you become deformed by your sin, right? You don't realize it, but it's slowly deforming you. It's exponential. Sin grows, and it's also numbing, right? You become so accustomed to sin that you don't notice the pain that it's actually causing you. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. We try and hide our sin. We try to cover it up, right? In that same way that the leper would wrap gauze around their wounds or cover themselves in a cloak. But you can still see it. The thing is that we're all in, you know, like a leper colony. You don't notice how bad everybody is because everybody's bad, right? And the same way with looking at losing the sensitivity. Sin does that, and that's the way Satan wants it to work, is that first little taste of something doesn't seem that bad, but then your sensitivity lessons, right? And it becomes more enticing and more enticing, and you need more of it, and you need more of it, and all of a sudden you're completely engulfed in it and you didn't even realize it. We are that leper. We are filthy. We are broken. We are sick. Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all righteousness are as filthy rags. Romans 7:24 and 25, what a wretched man am I. What a wretched man am I. Picture yourself being that leper. You have a death sentence. Your body is falling apart. You're engulfed in your sin. And then Jesus comes into the picture. What do? You fall down before him and you worship him and you kneel before him. I started Romans 7:24 and 25. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 3 of our text today. Jesus reached out his hand, and in the midst of our mire, our filth, our contagious disease, he touches us. And he says, I am willing. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still unclean, he touched us. 1 John 4:9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. And the good old classic John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, but have eternal life. So, in conclusion, as I close, we are the leper, right? And there's two categories. You are either the leper who has been healed from your leprosy because you kneeled before Jesus and you said, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And he touched you and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. That's one half of the group. I'm not saying that I'm dividing the group in this half over here versus this half over here. There's another part of the group where you have leprosy, but you're denial. I'm good. I am totally fine. You know, this whole religious thing, it's great. It's good for you guys. It's not for me. I know I can't feel my hands and my feet. I'm fine. I know I cut off my pinky the other day. I'm fine. I know you can't recognize my face. I got all of these ulcers. It's all good. Hand me another beer. Let's watch the game. Everything's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Now, chances are you're not in that category. Because if you are in that category, you were probably forced to be here by a spouse. You were brought here kicking and screaming. But I would argue, God brought you here for a reason. And my word for you and my encouragement is that Jesus is knocking on your door, right? He's standing there and he's saying, hey, I want to heal you. I want to offer you something amazing. I have a better life for you in store, free from this, free from the sickness and the disease of sin that is ravaging your life. But you got to open that door. What did the leper do? He kneeled. He kneeled and he worshiped. So I do have a word. This is a challenge I face. I have been cleansed. I have that moment in my life. It was back in 1999 where I fell before Jesus and I said, I have leprosy. I am so filthy. I am dirty. I can't do this without you. Heal me. And he reached out his hand. He touched me. And he said, I'm willing. Be cleansed. And then for some reason, since then, I've been trying to do it on my own. It's like, yes, through faith and mercy, God saved me. And then I said, watch this, Lord, see what I can do for you. It's so good that you saved me. I'm going to do such good things. This is great. Let's go. the verse for this, Galatians 3:1-5. And this is Paul pleading with this church. Let me ask you one thing. Only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And my question, it's a good question for small group. It's a good question for you to ask yourself. Good question for the drive home. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. That's my challenge for you. And this is something that I struggle with, and I know I'm going to struggle with it until the day I die, is stepping out of the way and letting God work through me. It's what's called abiding in the Spirit. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. And I believe that is the process of sanctification that we go through our entire lives. It's not just an instant thing, right? Yes, you are cleansed from leprosy. In an instant, boom, Jesus cleanses you. But we got to keep following him, and we got to keep submitting to him and allowing his Spirit to work through us to bear fruit for him. So that's my challenge for you. Now, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to stay up here, and I invite the elders to come up as well to be available to pray. And if you feel that nudge to come forward, I invite you to come forward. If you still are trapped in your sin and you haven't confessed, it's such a simple prayer, but all that it is just kneeling. It's just kneeling. In fact, you don't even have to physically kneel. It's just submitting and just saying, I give up. I give up. I surrender. I can't do this on my own. I can't overcome my own sin. I need you in my life. I would love to pray with you and pray that prayer with you if you'd like. But we also lost a dear brother this past week, suddenly. And it definitely puts into perspective life. We aren't promised today. Pastor Rick, I don't know if you caught it, but Pastor Rick at the very end of last Sunday's message says, I don't know what's going to happen to you 5 minutes from now. I don't know what's going to happen when you leave this house of worship. So if you need prayer, please don't hesitate to come up. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to go through the cleansing process outlined in Leviticus 14 and 13 to be able to come into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of our filth, our filthy rags, you reach out and you touch us. And for those, I can't do this. I need you. Cleanse me. You say, be cleansed. Thank you, Lord, for the atoning sacrifice that you made in our place to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's such a quick thing to say, but such a hard thing to do, to daily submit and allow you to work through us. But that's my prayer, Lord, is that you will use each of us here, Lord, for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that you will tug on the hearts of those people that are listening right now, Lord. Whatever challenge you want them to face, whatever thing you want them to do, I pray that they would be bold to trust in you and know that it's not of them, but it's of you, and that you will provide for them if they only take that step. Lord, we love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So